So I'd love to start this morning, and we're moving into Asmita Maya. So it's a very different, feel free to walk through. Yeah. We're really opening into the meditative heart, the essence that's underlying the practice of eye rest. And I'm going to spend the first 2 hours this morning really diving into Asmita Maya, what we're doing when we're moving beyond separation, beyond the I thought, what's the underlying philosophies and essence behind what we're really opening up to, the full potential of this practice. Yeah. And then I didn't grab my schedule. Hold on. And then after that, you'll be teaching your group practice. So whoever you paired with yesterday, you'll be paired with them again today. And whoever received yesterday will be the facilitator for the group practice. And you'll be using the same group practice script that you did yesterday, which was number 2. And then after that, Jennifer is going to finish off the morning, leading us into a meditation on your firsthand experience of opening up into what we're going to be exploring this morning. My talk will be meditative in nature, but this will be a more formal eye rest. It's one like we do when we're on retreat. So she'll be leading that. And then we'll have about 15 minutes of debrief at the end. Okay, great. So what I'd like to start with this morning is I'm going to open us into a meditation on being to help that open us up for the talk that I'm going to do. But I'd love to mention, we haven't mentioned what's happening in Ukraine, and I think that that's really important to acknowledge that there are many people that are suffering and, moving out of their country, becoming refugees, and war is so challenging on every single level. So if it speaks to you, if this resonates with you, then as we're opening this up, we might bring them into our heart and just acknowledge them this morning as we're opening into our meditation and really hold peace for all involved, for everyone, right? We're welcoming them all in this field of compassion and loving kindness. Yeah. Okay. So we'll do a brief walk through all the koshas, and then I'm going to open us up into being. And I'm going to open this in a simple way that you might be able to do with your students, but as a way that hopefully is accessible for you. Yeah. So just take a moment and settle in. You can do this seated, eyes open, eyes closed, whatever works for you this morning. If you're lying down, that's fine too. There's no special circumstance that we need. This being is always here. And at first you might open the senses, open the sense of hearing to the sounds of the room around you. But can you let go of labeling? So be before the mind labels and feel yourself. It's just this open receptivity to sound. And the inner eyes open to seeing. You might feel the eyes, sensation inside the head. The eyes are open. Let them find one point of focus and soften the gaze. You might notice that you open into the periphery and there's a softness so that even as the eyes are open, there's more of an inward gaze. Or if the eyes are closed, just feeling the eyes. It's pure sensation. Being before the mind labels what's seen or unseen. Just the pure capacity for seeing. the nose is smelling, even if there's a neutrality of scent. You might bring a gentle swallow inside the mouth tasting. Just notice any leftover residues from breakfast or just the taste of mouth and the capacity for tasting. And then the whole body, feel the whole body and its very aliveness. That underlying hum or vibration, this life force that's living through you. You might notice sensations in the mouth, or the jaw. Maybe the shoulders come alive. Just let attention wander, opening to the whole global body feeling. Let go of looking down with the eyes and feel the body from within. Pure sensation. And how naturally there might just be a noticing of the gentle undulation of the body breathing. A subtle caress of each breath. A current of energy. Joining the inhalation all the way to its fullness. A momentary pause and the exhalation all the way to its end. No one breathing, just the body breathing on its own. And then just noticing if there's any particular emotion or emotional tone that's here this morning. Again, being before the mind labels it, just feeling it as sensation. How there might be thoughts or images passing by. Unhooking attention. Set them free to be here. And maybe there's a touch of equanimity or happiness, a blush of pleasure or joy. Just noticing it might be here, it might not. And then all the while, even as all these changing sensations, movements of energy, emotion, thought are coming and going, there's just been your very presence. When we unhook attention from what's changing, the objects in our mind's eye, attention is freed to open back into this very background essence that's been here all along. Just this ease of being. You might notice how being can be felt localized in the body. Maybe it's that life force or that hum. But then see how you can bring attention and sensation. Let it come alive in the whole left side of the body. From the left head through the arm, torso, leg. Feel how what at first feels solid may start to feel more vibratory, fluid. And the borders and boundaries may become porous, and you might sense out to the left, opening into the space. And this space feeling co-mingles with body feeling. At the top of an inhalation, during a pause, let sensation cross that imaginary midline, and on the exhalation, feel the whole right side of the body come alive as sensation. For several breaths, maybe emptying out, opening the body sensation out into the space to the right. The space feeling commingles with body feeling. And then at the top of the next inhalation, let the dividing line in the body, that imaginary line, shift so that now it's front and back. And during an exhalation, sense back the whole backside of the body shimmering as sensation. And as the exhale unfolds, let it empty out so the body feeling opens into its very spaciousness back behind. And during inhalation, the space feeling pervades and permeates the body feeling. And then sensing at the top of an inhalation, the sensation crossing the midline, opening through the whole front side of the body. Let it come alive. From the front of the face, through the chest and arms, legs, tops of the feet. And on an exhalation, the body, maybe that edge of the skin, realizing it's open and porous, and how the body sensation empties out. It may be just a few inches or all the way out to caress the wall, sensing and permeating through the wall. The inhalation, the space feeling, suffuses body feeling. And then at the top of the next inhalation, let the imaginary dividing line dissolve. And on an exhalation, sense out in all directions, front, back, left, right, above, below, diagonally, everywhere. There's nowhere else you need to be, nothing you need to do or know. It's just this ease of being. And as you're resting as being, not so different than maybe a warm summer's day when all your chores or to-dos are done, you just have a moment to rest. Just this, resting here now. Where are you when you're resting as being? You feel the localized vibration in the body, but equally something here that's very spacious. And just this, resting here as being. What time is it when you're simply being? Can you sense how being is outside of time? And is there something that you need to obtain? Do you need a new car? Or a new article of clothing to make being any more perfect than it already is? Can you sense how being is beyond lack, need, or want? Again, thoughts may come and go. Just set them free. Come back, just resting as this background essence. Something here that's so familiar, yet equally always fresh. And is there anything you need to know? Do you need to read a book to know how to be? I'm just resting here as being, isn't it utterly complete? Just this. And can you sense how there's nothing you need to do? There's just this wholeness of being. Spacious, timeless, whole, complete, and perfect. So as you're ready and we open into this morning and I'm talking about different philosophies and different understandings, I'd love to invite you to be listening from this heart of being so that you're tracking the resonance of what's shared, the felt sense, and how all the while there's just this essence that you are, no matter what we're sharing. So you can touch back in at any time because this is your very existence. It's always here. So even as the eyes open softly and gently, can you keep feeling this open spaciousness? Something about you that's beyond lack or need. With eyes open. So thank you. All right. So I really do mean what I was offering at the end, this next talk, rather than making it very intellectual, even though I know that some of this you'll be hearing for the first time, I really do encourage you to feel into how this feels. Is it not familiar, whatever I'm about to share? What's the resonance? Remember, this is all an experiment to see what's true for you, right? It's all an experiment. But before we enter in, I'll just ask for a moment, what was your firsthand experience of being? If there was a one-word essence for you, and you can write it in the chat if you're at home, but if you're here in the room, what how would you describe your firsthand experience of being? And there's no wrong answer. I see beautiful, expansive stillness, open sky. What about in here in the room? Spacious. Uh-huh. Somebody in the room here said expansive. And someone felt a gripping. Didn't feel anything like that. Yeah. And that's totally normal too. Yeah. As we're opening and invited to open into this, there can be something in here that's like, no, thank you. That's all okay. Anything else? Any that I missed, any Shay, that came through?
Yeah, we had one more. It was sumptuous.
Sumptuous. Mm. Yeah. So let's open in. And what I'm going to be covering this morning is I'm going to be walking through the map in this next talk. Everything I'm talking about in the first talk is going to be relating to the map, but then I'm actually going to walk you through the map step by step in the next talk. So in your reference guide on pages 72 and 73 is called The Path of Meditation. And this is a map. It comes to us from Kashmir Shaivism, which is one of the four philosophies that underlie eye rest. And this is an ancient map. It's thousands of years old. And this is an adaptation. It's very, very much the map of meditation that you'll find in the Shiva Sutras, which is one of the four foundational texts. There's another text, the Pratyabhijna Hridyam, that essentially walks through this map as well. It's an unbelievable map that we can use for meditation. And so that we'll be walking through that here shortly. Then what we just did, you can find on page 74. And so this is called the Pointer Sisters. On the map, it's called Kanchukas. And you can see Kanchukas spelled there at the top in Sanskrit. And these are our pointers to wholeness. So this is on page 74. So after the path of meditation, after the map, the very next page. So some of the ways to understand the Kanchukas are spelled out here. I'm going to walk through these on the map. They come to us from Kashmir Shaivism. And it's two sides of a coin, because when we can feel into this, just like somebody was sharing here earlier, we can feel when we're connected more with our sense of separate self, our sense of our personality and our ego eye. And when we feel that, we're going to feel more limited in the body, right? We're going to feel very bound in the body. We're going to feel like we never have enough time. We're running late. Where we're really thinking about our past, present, and future, right? The more contracted, limited, so to speak, sense of self, right? I put that in quotes, air quotes. There you go. Because it's not just limited. It's the way that consciousness needs to funnel down to know itself, right? So this is a natural way that this underlying essence is giving form through us. So if we were feeling more of our formless essence and opening into being, it can also point us to our wholeness. That's where we feel spacious. We feel beyond time, timeless, right? Oftentimes there's something we feel like we need. We're lacking in some way. Like, you know, that there's something wrong with me versus there's something wrong, right? I'm lacking. The body mind is constantly having these desires, these needs. It's how we're built. That can help us know when we're connected with our separate sense of self. When we're opening up to our boundless essence and more of this field of being, we feel beyond lack. When you were being, did you feel like there was anything you needed to go get that would help you to feel more complete in that moment? No, everybody here is shaking their head. Was there something you needed to know? Versus when we're feeling ourselves more connected with our ego eye and our sense of separation, the personality, Of course, there are things that we want to study. You know, many of you may want to study some of the books that we'll be talking about today. That's okay. But when we're abiding as being in our wholeness, do you need to read a book to know how to be? Absolutely not, right? So you can see how there's two sides to the coin, and they're pointing us to our wholeness, or they're pointing us to where we're feeling more limited and bound in our body mind, right? And then, of course, the last one is, you know, is there something I need to do? Do I need to go do something? Or is the wholeness of who I am already here, right? So that's covered, and you can read that here on this document. It's also, there's a whole chapter on this in the IREST program for PTSD book called The Wholeness of Being, and there's some meditations in there around this as well. If you're not familiar with the IRS for PTSD book, I highly recommend it. There's 42 meditations in there. We also have a recording of those meditations, but you can record yourself. You can practice to them. You can record them and share them with your students. And they have 5-minute practices all the way to a full 35, 40-minute practice. Really nice. Then on this next page in the reference guide on page 75, we're going, that's where it coincides with the four philosophies. So you'll see them written here at the top. If you turn it to the side, you see where it says Samkhya, Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, Advaita Vedanta, and Kashmir Shaivism. These are the four core philosophies that are underlying the practice of IREST that come to us from yoga. They're four distinct philosophies of yoga. And you can look at this later. If you go through certification, it'll be really important, this particular document. You'll come back to it for some of the assignments. But I'm going to walk you through all this this morning. And then the continuum of awareness is on page 76. So that's the flip side. And we've done this several times. This is where we start as our separate sense of self. And then we move into being a witness. When we first are a witness, we often feel separate from the object that's in our awareness, right? Can you see that on page 76? Mm-hmm. So when we feel ourselves as a witness, we often feel separate. But when we shift from witness to witnessing, or witnessing presence, that sense of separation starts to dissolve. And we start to realize what felt separate, we're actually not separate from it. We can feel right into it, right? And this is something that you'll have to see for yourself. We'll keep doing this in the meditations we offer. And the witnessing presence then opens up more into just being, which is even more spacious and open. That's the potential here. And then being has some characteristics to it. You know, there's a silkiness, a softness, a suchness. But then being, we're aware of it. And being dissolves into a further refinement, a transparency of awareness that's completely unconditioned. There's nothing we can hang on to it, right? There's no condition there. I call it an ocean of transparency. It's vaster than vast. And there are no words that I could use to describe it. It reveals itself. So anyway, these are the forms that we'll be referencing a little bit here and there. So let me just talk to you about Asmita Maya and what we're doing in Asmita Maya. So when we enter Asmita Maya, it's the deconstructive phase. Remember, we were talking yesterday about constructive versus deconstructive? So deconstructive, by definition, is when our attention shifts away from the objects that are coming and going, and our attention shifts to inquire into the nature of what's unchanging. Unchanging being or unchanging awareness. So whenever we shift into what's unchanging, that's the deconstructive phase, right? So we're deconstructing that sense of separation. That's what it means by definition. And we weave in this unchanging being or unchanging awareness throughout the protocol. So the deconstructive phase is actually woven into IREST, throughout, but it's specifically in Ismitamaya. So Ismitamaya also is a kosha. Ismitamaya is referencing when we can see through that separation of the belief of being a separate ego I. That's what the kosha is. It's just another thought. Now, you'll often see, like on the 10 steps that are in the reference guide in your manual, the 10 steps behind me in Ismitamaya, it says, I thought, witness, being, and awareness. People confuse the witness or witnessing, being, and awareness as Ismitamaya, but it's not. It's what's beyond. It's what we land in when we move beyond the I thought. Does that make sense? So we're seeing this sense of I-ness, and then we see through it, and now we're in the land of what's unchanging. But it takes some orientation, doesn't it? It's a huge shift to shift from what's changing in coming through in our meditation, all the sensations, all the emotions, the thoughts, the movement of breath. Those are easier to anchor into. Because it, you know, we're affiliated with those in our everyday thinking mind. It's a big shift to shift into an unchanging witness of it, right? So in Ismitamaya is when we're contrasting what's changing with what's unchanging. And we're learning to discriminate what's changing from what's unchanging. So I said yesterday, we have these six senses that help us maintain the world of duality. Duality means two, self and other, or self and the many. So we have six senses to help us maintain the sense of duality and the sense of separation. Sorry, I go until 9:30, right?
9:15.
Oh, 9:15? Oh, so sorry. I thought I had an hour. Okay, well, I'm going to speed this up. So the sixth sense is that sense of the ego eye that gives us the sense of separation. And the seventh sense is the sense that opens us to a unicity, right? A complete unicity and reveals our non-separate wholeness. So I'd love to pull up the definitions for today, Kajal, if you don't mind. I think it says day five. Yes. So we have in Sanskrit, and we'll walk through this in a moment after the break on the map of meditation, something called prakriti. And Jennifer referenced prakriti the other day, and it's the second word down, prakriti. And that's referencing everything that's made of nature, everything that's seen. Anything that's born, that grows, that stabilizes, decays, and dies is understood as prakriti from a yogic standpoint. So that includes a thought, that includes a mountain, it includes a building, it includes a butterfly, it includes our bodies. Anything that is born, grows, and dies is prakriti. So by very nature, it's coming and going. It distinguishes Purusha as the witness to everything that's coming and going. So we can think of that as the seer. And the witness is unchanging. And we have this lovely phrase called Viveka Kyari. And that means discriminative wisdom. And Viveka Kyari in yoga, this discriminative wisdom is often referenced in meditation, when we're discriminating between what's changing and what's unchanging, right? Or it gives us a discriminative wisdom of a deeper truth, a deeper essence. And then we have this word parinama. And parinama is referencing how the seen is constantly changing while the seer remains unchanging. And we'll give these, we'll have all these documents for you where we have the definitions. We'll have these on your learning resource page. And they're also found in the back of your manual. We have definitions in English and Sanskrit in the back of the full manual. right? So in the first movement, in the first philosophy that underlies the teachings of I-Rest, we have something called Sankhya. And Sankhya was the science of the day thousands of years ago, and it was developed by ancient sages and saints and yogis that were meditating, and their laboratories were their body mind. And they laid out this amazing, amazing understanding to look at the world. And they basically started off by like, isn't it true? You've gone to the temples, you've done all the rituals, and you're still no better off than when you first started. That's pretty much how it starts. And so it really laid out for people so that at the time they didn't have to go to the temples. It was the philosophy that they could look into to find out the nature of themselves, their true nature. And at the highest understanding of this understanding, it identifies Prakriti and Purusha as separate. So everything that you see, everything that's made of nature, everything that comes and goes, including your separate sense of self, is made of nature. And it identifies this separate witness that is forever separate from Prakriti. So it's dualistic in nature. Never shall the two meet, right? Now, Purusha, the seer, is a profound movement in meditation. I was just saying this a moment ago. Being able to feel ourselves as an unchanging witness, to take that leap in meditation where our attention turns in on itself and we can see this part of us that's been watching, the observer, that is profound. Hopefully you felt that in your meditation at some point. Huge. Where we're free of all those moving thoughts, right? But it distinguishes this as separate. So, and that is the, also the highest understanding of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. In Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, it's basically experiments of how we can come to know the understandings laid out in Sankhya. So Patanjali's Yoga Sutras is based on Sankhya. And we can lower the definitions for now. Thank you. Kajal, I'll ask to bring them forward again here in a little bit. Thanks so much. So the top of the fullest understanding of Patanjali's is the fullest understanding of Sankhya, from the understanding of feeling ourselves as a separate witness to everything that's coming and going, and coming home to that essence and that nature. Thank you. Then we have another philosophy that comes in, and this is Advaita Vedanta, right? So Advaita Vedanta, just as a reminder, what I'm going through right now, I don't want you to stare at it because I really want you to take in the information. You can look at it a little bit later, but it's on page 75 in your reference guide. So see where it says Advaita Vedanta there? And how each of them are, we're moving now from a dualistic perspective to a non-dualistic perspective. Okay? So we can put this to the side. Next is going to come Kashmir Shaivism. But let's start with Advaita Vedanta. So with Advaita Vedanta, it is the first movement of non-dualism. And non-dualism means not to. A means not, and Vaita means to, not to. So we're opening up into our wholeness, into our essence that's not separate, right? But here we're learning to, you know, make friends with the body, senses, and mind, and we've differentiated the seer from the seen. And it takes a second look, though, at the seer and the seen, and it says, you know, this that we thought that was separate, we realize that the seer is not separate from everything that's coming and going. So you can, this is that shift from being a witness to coming into witnessing or witnessing presence. And it takes a look and it says, you know, everything out there is actually an unreal projection of the mind. We're not separate from it, but it sees the world as an unreal projection of the mind. This is where we get our word Maya. M-A-Y-A. Remember that first night? And I said there's Maya that is often described as illusion and it has the long horizontal lines over both A's. It's often defined as illusion. But we can also define it as that which measures the immeasurable. This is what I'm talking about. It says we're not separate from everything. Or it says we're it's an unreal projection of the mind, right? We're not separate, but it's a projection. And so it says, you know, the world is pretty sticky. So historically, it's been more of a world-denying view of let's leave the world alone and let's go here and really open into this essence that's, you know, more of our essential nature, this witnessing presence. And when Richard Miller was studying these different philosophies, he actually was asked by more than one Advaitic teacher to become a teacher in Advaita Vedanta. And he was married and he already had kids. But both those teachers said in order for him to teach Advaita Vedanta, he would have to leave his family and come live at the monastery and teach. And he knew and he said, you know, he didn't feel that what he was opening up to as his essential nature and what he was interested in opening up to, he didn't feel that he needed to leave his family in order to do it. Now, this is not to say that, I mean, I, you know, totally supportive of people that choose to live their life in a monastery and have that study and that way of expressing themselves. They do a lot for us by holding that space. But most of us that are here are living in the world. We have families, we have jobs. And there is a way to awaken to our essential nature where we don't have to just remove ourselves from the world. So it's more of a world-denying view historically. And it sees the everything that's coming and going, as I said, is that unreal projection of the mind. So then there's one more philosophy, and it's called Kashmir Saivism. And it takes a second look. And it says, wait a minute, everything that's happening out there is not an unreal projection. It is real. And this essential nature that we are is not separate from anything that's coming and going. It's giving rise to everything. And everything we see is just this beatific miracle of this expression, of this essence in hundreds of thousands of ways. Okay? So that's unqualified non-dualism because there's no qualifier. We're not separate, that everything is seen as real and an unreal and a real essence. It's just a unique expression. So let's take a 15-minute break and we'll come back and I'm going to walk through again with the map as a way to explore this. So thank you.